Hey guys, Dom here. Just calling in for an F1 minute style review of the season. First season where I've managed to watch every race live, which is pretty impressive considering what I was meant to be doing during a couple of them. So glad I did though. It's been a hell of a season, completely unpredictable, and just about every minute was worth watching. Maybe with the exclusion of a couple of Spanish races. Most of the races were at such a high standard this year though, and the field closed up so much. Every team that scored points got a podium. It's not every year we see that. Probably best for me not to go into any detail, otherwise this voicemail will never end, but overall it's been an exceptional season, from start to finish, certainly at the finish. And it's just a shame we can't be sure that next year is going to be even better. Fingers crossed though.
Turn on to the highway. What's gone is what I left behind.
Hi, this is Rich from South Africa. It's a beautiful spring day. And I just want to share with the rest of the SciPod community some of my thoughts and views of the 2008 season.
Yeah, good evening, Christine and me. It's Gavin Brown again, also known as Rubber Goat. As you know me from the SciPod panel, you know I always like to put my two cents in, so I jump at the chance of being part of the Mega Mix.
Hey, it's Jordan here again, calling to make my 2008 race review of the season.
Hello, everyone. This is Alianora Lacanta.
Hi, guys. It's Scott here.
Evening all, it's RG. Just talking about the season review for the 2008 season.
Thinking back on what happened.
First off, Australia. Well, a Grand Prix that really is just like Mario Kart. Great action, loads of crashes, loads of random things happening. It's almost like a set of precedent for the season with Hamilton doing well, Massa doing well, but maybe having a bit of trouble, DC crashing, loads of overtaking.
Australia was an occasion where everyone was seeing, you know, how is everything going to work out without traction control. I think it was quite an exciting prospect, and of course Massa found out because he dropped it at the first corner of the first lap of the first race of the season without traction controls, and Lewis went on to a very convincing win. Nico took his first podium as well, which was great to see.
You know, we all sort of expected a lot more from Kimi, and there's quite a lot of criticism and people were doubting Kimi's commitment. My take here is that he was just really not that comfortable with the car. He was struggling a little bit. He just needed to get up to speed and in a comfort zone. And then during many of those races, he was just blitzingly fast. I mean, he set up in a fastest lap race after race. So I think we're going to see a lot more of the Iceman in 2009.
Raikkonen, on the other hand, went from team leader to a driver whose exact role in Ferrari seemed uncertain. He clearly has one, as races like Malaysia and Spain demonstrated. But the fire that we saw burn brightly in the latter half of 2007 fizzled out after Turkey. And don't get me started on Monaco yet.
Monaco? Oh, my goodness. The rain at Monaco was unbelievable. I mean, it did get to the point where when Lewis hit the barrier, had a puncture, you did really sort of kind of think, oh, that's it, it's over for Lewis. But Lewis was called one of his childhood dreams to win the Monaco Grand Prix, and it was nice to see that.
Lewis Hamilton in Monaco in the pouring rain, Robert Kubica, Canada. When Kimi and Hamilton ran into the back of each other in the pit lane.
Canada was awesome. Really, really sorry to see it go. One of the last great Formula 1 tracks that isn't about the money. In terms of the race, another shocking mistake by Lewis Hamilton. It was good of him to think at last minute to take out his rival, though, so Kubica could win. Although, having said that, it was well-deserved. Kubica had a great season.
Canada was a turning point probably for the worst for the Andretti side, because the achievements at the start of the season were to win a race. And I think once we won the race, yes, it might be down to luck, you know, I wouldn't crash into Raikkonen. You've got to take your luck to take a win. So still, it was a fantastic moment. I mean, I was disappointed for Nick not to win, because I think between him and Raikkonen, Kubica, you probably deserved it more, because he hasn't won a race yet. He's had quite a few races. Hopefully 2009 that'll change for him.
Now we come to Honda and their Earth dreams, which seem to have ended up into a track nightmare. I mean, if ever a team kept slumping, it was Honda. And you sort of had to really feel sorry for both Rubens and Jensen. I think Rubens really accounted himself very well. I mean, it was a little bit lucky in Silverstone, but, you know, he still scored points in other races. The case of poor Jensen, it was almost as if he'd just given up on the beast.
Hamilton had some astonishingly good races, particularly Silverstone, where he finished over a minute ahead of second place in teaming rain. Nearly everybody else went off at least once, but Lewis was incredibly sure-footed.
Found out that Silverstone wouldn't be hosting the British Grand Prix anymore, and it was going to be going to Donington, which I think at the moment is probably looking quite unlikely because of the shambles of the plans they've made and everything. But simply, I would say that was one of my top three favourite races of the year for the British Grand Prix. Lewis's drive, in absolutely appalling conditions, with no traction control, was just majestic.
Britain, people just go on about how great Hamilton's drive was, how fantastic he was doing. You know, it was a good drive. But remember as well, Nick Heidfeld making a mistake in that race. I don't remember making a mistake at all. I thought that was a very good drive by Heidfeld. Very good drive by Keller as well, because you don't nowadays don't see Honda on the podium that much. You don't see Honda in the points.
Massa had a terrible race, 5 spins. I still haven't quite forgiven him for that one. Close the door, shut
the light, it's through. Hungary was Heikki Kovalainen who won. Honestly, I didn't think he could have won that race because Massa was so far out in front, and if it wasn't for Massa blowing in his engine, I don't think Heikki would have won a race this season.
Even Kovalainen's poor season involved a win, but there were times when I wondered whether his brother had got hold of the car again, like Flavio Briatore claimed had happened in Australia last year.
Lucky win for Kovalainen. Do you think it's a coincidence that both the Finns were disappointing this year? Let's hope they come back stronger next year in 2009.
He's been now tasked as the 100th ever Grand Prix winner. And really, if you think about it, I don't think he really deserves it. As much as I like the guy, I didn't deserve it. Because that race, as I said, he didn't earn that win. He just inherited it because of the unreliability of the Ferrari engine.
Valencia.
Hey, this is Paskus calling from Sydney, and all I can say is, ha! Damn, that was a hell of a season. And of course, if you're going to have a season like that, a handful of races before the end and still 4 in the running, and then only a couple of races in the end and still 2 in the running in the last lap of the last race, what do you do when you've had a season like that? You change all the rules and you change the car specifications. Of course, you're the FIA. Thanks everyone for a fantastic year of shows, and I hope you keep it up through 2009. All the best from Sydney. See ya.
Sun's coming up over the city. I can't sleep.
In fact, the standard of stewarding was pretty atrocious throughout 2008. Replacing Tony Scott Andrews with Alan Donnelly was a disaster. A series of baffling decisions occurred. These range from the inconsistent, through the baffling, to the downright incomprehensible. Why did Bourdais get a 25-second penalty for Massa crashing into him? Changes have been announced for 2009, and not a moment too soon.
And then we saw Belgium with all the fiasco, Kimi and Lewis going at it. I mean, that was just totally amazing there. And then I really thought, with the FIA, they made so many poor calls this year and decisions. I mean, it just was horrible.
Spa could have been great, but the stewards ruined it. Real shame about this. I don't know what happened there, but it's as if the stewards get training from the Premiership referees. Similarities are quite canny, really. Giving goals without near, giving penalties without near.
I said that BMW Sauber was my favourite team. Well, I sort of changed allegiances, and now Toro Rosso is. That's mostly because of a young Sebastian Vettel. This guy is truly amazing. I mean, he's awesome. I mean, that Monza win, to take a Ferrari-powered Minardi, which is what the Toro Rosso is, and to defeat the works Ferrari on their home turf. It's just such a special occasion. And it was rain, and no one looks as if it could really touch the young German. Shaking
beneath my feet. Singapore, fantastic venue, fantastic concert following it at night. It was brilliant to watch. And we had a surprise winner in Alonso.
I think the high points of the F1 season have been the introduction to the Singapore GP. That was stunning, you know, you got the entertainment, you got in the night sky, that was just a brilliant, you know. The F1 game released next year, that would be one brilliant track to drive across. Obviously, the positives, what they need to improve on is that they need to get better marshalling. Without better marshalling, I think that was the only damper on the Grand Prix.
After the summer break, the Renault team emerged out of the darkness. Piquet Jr. began to look like an F1 driver, but the massive margin between teammates continued because Alonso was suddenly fighting for podiums. In three of the last four races, he got them. Two of those, Singapore and Japan, were victories. So Alonso's season can be summarised as bad start, great finish. You said
nothing. China. Not a great race. Good for Lewis, bad for Massa. In fact, really embarrassing for Massa. Kimi Raikkonen pretty much had to pack it to let him by. Although, that's what Formula 1's about. It's individual sport in a team, so they did what they had to do.
I mean, of course there was that blatantly obvious switch over by Massa and Raikkonen, and you could obviously see, you know, it was going to happen. And again, it wasn't a case of this, it was a case of just when.
And finally, Brazil. Wow. Just wow. One of the best races in 20 years of Formula 1. I've watched all sorts of drivers, I've watched all sorts of races, and that's got to be one of the best. Just unbelievable, the tension, the passion. McLaren versus Ferrari, Lewis versus Massa, it's just the whole thing. Unbelievable. I think for 2 weeks beforehand, I was just absolutely on edge, and I left that no, a lot of other people were.
And then it came to Brazil, and you just could not have predicted the absolute chaos and unbelievable events of that Sunday. You know, I mean, the rain shower in the beginning, and then it was just the whole thing where Lewis was trying to stay in fifth place, and then the rain came down at the end, and then just the metal past Lewis, and just every Lewis Hamilton must have thought, not again. This cannot be happening again. And then Massa crossing the line, thinking he's won the championship, and then last corner of the last lap of the last race of the season, it all comes together.
Well, Brazil was a real cliffhanger there with Lewis finishing fifth, just enough to secure the world championship, and a virtually perfect race on the part of Felipe. And literally, for a few seconds there, he was world champion. And then the sort of despair as Clock was unable to defend his position, and Lewis took over the position.
What did we see? We saw Massa come across the finish line first. He was so happy. Him and his dad was just the happiest people alive right there. And then when Hamilton crossed the finish line, to see Massa's dad's face, just the happiest man in the world, to just the disappointment, him, you know, how sad he was. I mean, that hurt.
I think people saying that Brazil are the greatest race ever. I don't think that's right. I mean, in terms of tension, yes, but in terms of excitement, quality, I think it was probably, it wasn't that good. It was like four, five, six laps at the start, and 2, 3, 4, 5 laps at the end. That really was entertaining. The rest of the middle, you know, it was pretty boring. Monaco, that was entertaining from start to finish. Britain, that was entertaining from start to finish. Italy, that was fairly entertaining as well. Europe, maybe not.
However, Lewis and Massa, too many mistakes, so you can't really say they're best drivers of the year, and I think a lot of the side podcasters agree with me. McLaren and Ferrari, not as tactically sharp as it used to be, quite surprising, really. I don't think Schumacher would have put up with it. And McLaren used to be feared for how good they were with their tactics. The best drivers, I guess, were Kubica and Alonso, although, unfortunately, couldn't challenge for a championship. They were the most consistent and one with not great cars, but in my mind, that's a better effort than Lewis and Massa, because they had good cars.
He might be like the JV, because Jacques Villeneuve came in the 1996 season, did well like Lewis, came second in the championship, you know, won a few races. His next year, he won the World Championship, and that's what Lewis exactly did. And we were all kind of wondering, well, what if he goes into this JV phase? I don't know if he will, but if he comes into this phase, and that's why I've always loved Formula One, where guys work their way up from lower teams to get to the best teams. Massa did it. Kimi did it. Alonso kind of did it too, but he did it with that team.
Yep, Nick Heidfeld, he's finished every race of the season, which is, I think, a credit to the reliability of the team. I mean, Kubica only retired twice, and that was because of, you know, the spin out in Britain where practically everybody else spun out anyway. Yesterday, the
reserves, they're almost in. I think 2009 could be more competitive with the lower aero forcing, the slick tyres, and the introduction of KERS. So it should be a good season.
You know, in Formula One, I think with Lewis, he was kind of the first, you know, rookie that you would throw into a top three team, and he's done well. But again, a good driver. I respect him, but I think next year will be a different story. I think Kimi Raikkonen could win the championship next year. I really think he can.
For next year, you know, it's going to be a big, you're going to have Hamilton retaining the championship. You're going to have Massa. He can prove he's strong in a good car. You're going to have Raikkonen if he's up to it. You're going to have, if possibly, Alonso if he's in a good Renault. You're going to have Kubica if BMW decide to stay with him the whole season.
Side Podcast went from strength to strength, already producing very good weekly podcasts. They introduced live commenting this year. Combined with ITV F1's broadcast of Friday 3 practices, but not Saturday practice for some reason, this made a day of anyone lucky enough not to have a job, or to be able not to work for a few hours on Fridays. Following the sessions this way brought a whole new understanding to the sport. Other notable additions included the Side Podcast Wiki, the numerous live programmes, and the stuffed panda called Jetto. Congratulations are also in order because Christine and her co-host, who calls himself me, got married.
Thank you very much, Side Podcast, for brilliant sharing F1 for a brilliant year, and I shall let you get back to what you do for a break and maybe see you at Autosport. Thanks very much.
Great season. Thanks for you guys doing all the coverage that you do and all the podcasts that you make. And I really do thank you guys so much, and I hope to be on a SidePod panel one of these days.
So I guess to finish off, I'll just say thank you very much to SidePodcast for this excellent work during the year. I joined later on, and I'm absolutely blown away by how professional you guys are and how brilliant the podcasts are. They're so good to listen to, and they've been great fun. I've really enjoyed them all, and I've loved being part of the SidePod panel, and it's been brilliant to be part of such a wonderful online community. You guys are all fantastic. Love the comments you make, and it's always loads of fun.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, and we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.